We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Good to be with you. Thank you so much for joining me on this Tuesday afternoon. And it's not Tuesday, it's Thursday. Wow, I can't even keep up with my days. There is so much to cover, even on.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Ben and Jerry's create flavors of ice cream, but they also create controversy. Now, the latest has been their belief that it's high time we recognize the U.S. exists on stolen land and commit to returning it. Unilever is the company that now owns Ben & Jerry's ice cream. So far, it has lost $2 billion in market capitalization. The first step, according to Ben & Jerry's, would be to return the Black Hills of South Dakota, including Mount Rushmore, to the Lakota. Now, Rich Lowry says that raises another question. Once this transfer takes place, will the Lakota turn around and give the Black Hills back to the tribes they took them from? He warns that it isn't wise to get your history lessons from people making ice cream. In his op-ed on the myth of Native American innocence, he reminds us that the history of North America is complex. Yes, the way this country treated several Indian tribes is a sad, dark chapter of American history, but that should be placed alongside the hatred, greed, and violence of the Indian tribes that engaged in intertribal warfare. My response to so many of the claims by leftists these days is, you first. If you're concerned that your white privilege got you into college, then give up your scholarship and your place at the university. If you think that we should give back stolen land, you first.
All right, folks, sorry about that. Had a little technical difficulty back in here now. Okay, so what I was about to head to, maybe that's why. Maybe because I was actually defending Donald Trump. That gets you in trouble out there, so maybe the NSA or somebody cut us off. I'm kidding. Let's not invite that sort of thing to actually happen. But here's the thing. If Donald Trump is guilty of seditious conspiracy for what he did on January 6th, then every time you or I or anybody else shows up to testify at a legislative hearing or a school board meeting to actually demand that they follow the Constitution, if you show up at a protest or you show up at a rally at a state capitol somewhere to demand that a piece of legislation gets passed or to in any other way petition your government for a redress of grievance, then you are guilty of seditious conspiracy. That's essentially what this DOJ is laying out as a definition of seditious conspiracy. This is horrible stuff, folks. And then, of course, you got in Michigan, they're now going after this slate of electors. So we're going to criminalize participation in the political process. It's over the top, of course. But I'll get into that more, and you can, of course, call in and comment on that if you like. 888-589-8840 is the phone number, 888-589-8840. I got to get to some good news, though. I don't want to start off just so hot over this two-tier justice system that we talk about all the time around here because we're constantly seeing good people be persecuted, not prosecuted, and seeing very bad people, evil actions, ignored because they are being done by a particular political group. And so if you're in power, you protect your friends and family and fellow, whoever's in your movement, and you persecute those who are on the other side. At least that is the MO of the Democrat Party now and those that are in power. But before I get to all of that, and we'll also be hitting on Canada doing this as well, since Art Pawlowski has now been found guilty, another travesty of justice. Let's get some lighthearted good news. I don't know if you can even call it lighthearted. I would say it's important, and it's rare, and it's coming from California. So just get over that shock for a moment that I'm going to be talking about California in a good light. Well, it's not the state of California, certainly not the governor of California, and it's certainly not the legislature or any policy coming from California. It's one company based in California that I wish, this is a clarion call if anybody knows the owners, I wish would open an outlet in my hometown And yes, I'm talking about In-N-Out Burger. Listen, In-N-Out Burger, by the way, just delicious. No, they haven't paid us for any advertising. No, I don't know if they advertise with American Family. I don't think they do. They should. And no, they don't advertise with Patriot Academy or any of those things. So this is free for them. And it's a reward for good policy and backbone and standing up for truth. In-N-Out Burger has been under the gun from California ever since COVID started, especially ever since the jab became the, you know, mantra of the unscientific, unconstitutional tyrants that ran this country during that whole period and ran California and still do. And shocking, not shockingly, because this is a good company. I mean, this is a company that actually prints Bible verses on their materials. You know, you get it on the bottom of your cup. You get it in other places of your materials that you get from them. And so they're literally serving up the Word of God with these incredible burgers and fries and chocolate shakes. By the way, not that I do get the chocolate shake as often as I can. Okay, anyway, In-N-Out Burger, amazing company. Here's what they said recently that got them in trouble. I'm just going to read it. They are introducing new mask guidelines that emphasize the importance of customer service and the ability to show our associates smiles and other facial features while considering the health and well-being of all individuals. We believe this policy will also help to promote clear and effective communication, both with our customers and among our associates. Let me break that down for you, folks. What they're basically saying in my good old boy, country boy language is, we think that masks being worn make you look like a criminal and make it impossible for the customer to understand what in the world you're saying. And so we're not going to play this charade anymore, and we're not going to allow our employees to play this charade anymore. It is ridiculous what people did during COVID. I can't tell you how many times I had to say, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. Wait, what are you saying? Wait, what? While the idiots of the world continued to wear a mask. And I'm sorry, if you're still wearing a mask, you failed the IQ test, okay? Now, if you've got a disease, or you're literally around people that have a disease, or you're in a really disease-ridden area, different animal, okay? It was not like that during almost any of COVID in public areas and on planes, but yet they did this to us. I can't tell you how many times I had a stewardess or a steward try to ask me for an order or lean down and say something to me, and I could not understand a word they were saying because they had a face diaper on that prevented it. And for 3 years, I have watched people act like morons as they try to talk to each other with masks on. Huh? What? Huh? And try to, it's just been ridiculous. And what it's done to children, to deaf people trying to read, it's just, anyway, I'm just so fed up with it. I have no patience for people that are still playing this charade. And apparently, In-N-Out is done with it as well. Because, first of all, they stopped the nonsense a long time ago, but they had to allow employees that wanted to wear masks to continue to wear masks. And so for a lot of people, because the government brainwashed them into fear, they've been operating out of complete and total fear. And the psychological damage that we did to people. If you're still wearing a mask in the airport right now, you have been, the psyop on you has worked. And that's what's happened to so many people. I still see them. I just flew back yesterday and still, it's a minority. It's not most people. It's maybe, 15-20% of people out there. And that may be a little high, actually. Maybe it's 10% of people that are still doing this. And I feel sorry for them. I'm like, I cannot believe that you fell for this and that you are still falling for this and inhibiting your breathing, harming your health, wearing these masks all the time was bad for people, not good for people. So now we can finally tell the truth. I've been saying it forever, but getting canceled everywhere when I said it. But this was just the height of lunacy. As soon as they started demanding these masks, and I was like, what are you talking about? You're going to be breathing chemicals from that mask all day long, getting less oxygen to your brain, and it doesn't stop a respiratory virus. It's not going to prevent COVID. So there was zero benefit to doing it and all kinds of harm, not to mention the individual physical harm to an individual, but also the psychological harm to everyone around that individual and to the entire community because everybody's wearing the mask. What's going to happen? What are you saying to your psychology? There's a deadly virus that I am going to get. I'm absolutely going to get it, and everybody's going to die from it. That's what you're saying to people. instead of saying, no, you know what? This thing's a 0.1% case fatality rate. It really is a horrifically bad flu year. It really is harming people that are susceptible. So if you're 85 years old and you got 14 comorbidities, yeah, you probably should wear a mask. But if you're 40 years old in great shape, you are simple-minded if you are wearing a mask. Anyway, okay, I've insulted enough people for the afternoon. In-N-Out got over this a long time ago, but they're now tired of their employees playing the game. And look, let's just face it. A lot of employees are doing it just to play a game. They want to wear a mask just because of, you know, other reasons. And so they're saying, listen, common sense says if you come in to place an order and you're facing someone, you want to see their smile. You don't want to see a mask. You don't want to feel like you're being held up at gunpoint. Remember when that used to be what a mask represented? You don't want to not understand when they repeat the order back to you whether or not they got the order right. I can't tell you how many times I drove through a drive-thru and somebody's trying to talk on the drive-thru microphone with a mask on. And what do you hear? That's what you got. Oh. God, just I Okay. I'm going to calm down. But it was just so long. It went on for so long, and I couldn't believe people weren't waking up. But California's In-N-Out woke up. And so they're saying, you're not going to wear a mask. Now, if you come in with some doctor's note, which I'm sure some doctor is going to write a note for some people to do this, and you absolutely have to wear a mask, then you got to wear the company-provided N95 mask. And I'm suggesting to In-N-Out that mask should say Romans 1:22. Professing fools. That's what I had on my mask, my fake mask that I wore when I had to get on a plane. And they had their ridiculous, unconstitutional, unscientific demands that I put a mask on to get on that plane. I had me a little fake mask that I could actually breathe through. And it said Romans 1:22, professing fools. What's that say? What's Romans 1:22 say? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And boy, howdy, were we fools through COVID. So thank you, In-N-Out, for having enough common sense to stop this nonsense. Now, here's why the left was on red alert for In-N-Out and why they hate them. Because they said, back with the jab, they said, this is them, quote, we refuse to become the vaccination police. For any government, it is unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe to force our restaurant associates to segregate customers into those who may be served and those who may not, whether based on the documentation they carry or for any other reason. We fiercely, love that word, fiercely. Do I sound a little fierce today? Yes. We fiercely disagree with any government dictate that forces a private company to discriminate against customers who choose to patronize their business. This is clear governmental overreach and is intrusive, improper, and offensive. Oh, my goodness. In-N-Out, God bless you. God bless In-N-Out Burger and the people that run In-N-Out Burger. These people understand freedom. Why do they understand freedom? Because they are lovers of God's word. And because they're lovers of God's word, they understand why freedom is so important. They understand why it's so important to, you know, not segregate and discriminate based on these silly things that government came up with. And I love the language, man. Do you hear what they're saying in these statements? Do you hear what? Listen, fiercely disagree. Government dictate. What does a government dictate? It's not a law. It's a tyrannical order. That's why I always asked the TSA agents when I would go through and they said, you got to put a mask on. And I would say, why? And they would say, because it's a law. And I'd say, no. Wait a minute. Come on, folks. I wish we had the music. Maybe Bobby will find it. Remember Schoolhouse Rocks? I'm a Bill from Capitol Hill. You know, where the actual lawmakers are, the elected representatives of the people, not some dictate. Thank you, In-N-Out, for using that word dictate. I love it. All right, folks, go get you a burger at In-N-Out Burger. Go spend some money with these people. If they had one in Dripping Springs, Texas, I'd be going and buying 10 burgers today. I just absolutely love it when a law-abiding, Bible-based company stands up, stands firm, has the backbone to say no to a tyrannical government. God bless you, In-N-Out Burger. All right, when we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Walker Wildman with you on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Appreciate you listening and being a supporter of American Family Radio. Phone number to call in, 888-589-8840. I know what you're thinking. Wow, Rick slowed down for like 20 seconds. He actually spoke in a normal pace for about 20 seconds. 888-589-8840. That's all I can do, folks. I got to speed back up. I just feel like there's so much to cover. I have to talk fast. It's just the fast-talking Texan, which I know is rare. Everybody tunes in and they think, if he's such a country boy, shouldn't he be talking like this? I just can't do it. I got to get too much in. I've been around David Barton for way too long. All right, make sure you go to In-N-Out today, folks. Thank them for this sane policy, not being the government brown shirts and enforcing these vaccination policies. And not only on their employees, but on their customers, which was their first stand against the government. And now they're taking an even stronger stand on the mask insanity that has been going on out there. And I want to apologize to anybody that felt like I stepped on their toes because they're still wearing a mask. You know, I really do. I apologize. My intent was to stomp on your toes and shake you out of your slumber and shake you out of the fear that the government imposed upon you, and that the media and all of these Fauciites, these people that parroted the lies of Anthony Fauci for years onto our people, and now there are still millions of people out there that are living in fear because of the evil that was perpetrated on the American people by this government and by Anthony Fauci as the lead perpetrator of that evil. So, just telling you, go read some good studies. There's not a single study supporting that these masks prevented COVID or would not only prevent you from getting it or prevent you from giving it or any of those things. Complete waste of your breath. And now, if you have some other disease or you got a cold, you know, the only guy I've done this to, the only guy I've actually asked, I've tried to be so nice to people and just put up with this as much as I can based on the Declaration of Independence saying that mankind are more supposed to suffer evils while they're sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they're accustomed. So I've tried to just, you know, not be, I mean, even when I'm sitting on the plane and they say, the federal mandate for masks is gone, you know, so it's up to you. Everybody wants to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, and just treat each other with respect, depending upon their, you know, on their, where was that 2 years ago when they were kicking me off a plane for not having my mask properly worn? Where was that when I had people tattling on me on the airplane for not having my face diaper on? Where was that when people cussed me out and chewed me out because I took my mask off to eat my chocolate-covered pomegranates on the flight? I'm sorry. I haven't forgotten it because I don't want it to ever happen again. It was so ridiculous. All right. I'm going to stop ranting on this because I could do this all day long. All right, I had a, let's see, where's my phone list here? Let's go to the phones, by the way, 888-589-8840. Oh, I forgot, I was supposed to talk about, I do want to come back to the whole Trump thing. I think that's really, really important. But I had a call about the mask. Looks like I might have lost that one. Okay, never mind. Let me go back to Trump real quick because I can't let the show get away. And sometimes if you listen often, you know, I get off on tangents and I just can't help it. I just go for an hour and then all of a sudden I didn't get back to the topic I was supposed to talk about. So as I was saying at the beginning of the program, this Trump potential indictment, they haven't done it yet. You know, they're just saying they're potentially going to. Trump has announced that he's definitely, you know, a subject of this investigation, and that what they plan to charge him with is this whole, you know, seditious conspiracy. And same kind of stuff that has been used against peaceful protesters. And let's be, I have to say this every time, because some, you know, radical, whacked out group out there is going to take me out of context and say that I acted like nothing that happened January 6th was wrong. I've said it from the beginning. I've said it a million times. If you broke things, if you pushed police officers, if you committed violence, if you did those things, you deserve prosecution. Okay, I said it that afternoon on January 6th. I'm saying it again. I've said it a million times. Okay, but that prosecution, of course, should be equal justice. You should be treated equally under the law as others who broke things, pushed cops, did things all through the summer of 2020. The law should apply the same to everybody. However, if you were at the Capitol praying for the nation, singing hymns, if you walked into the Capitol with no barriers, police officers waving you in, then you did nothing wrong. You should not be prosecuted. Those people should absolutely be pardoned on day one of the next presidency, whether it's Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, Vivek Ramaswamy. It's not going to be Mike Pence or Asa Hutchinson. I can tell you that after that dismal performance at the Blaze's forum last week with Tucker Carlson and the family leader up in Iowa. Anyway, it's not going to be those guys, but it most likely will be Donald Trump. It very well could be Ron DeSantis. And it's possible that it could be Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, who knows? I don't know if anybody else in the field has a chance, but maybe. Anyway, whoever it is should be starting the pardons immediately. Now DeSantis has said that he will, day one, have the pardon process going. And he said, of course, we have to review every application. He said, this is how we did it as governor. You got to, you know, at least look at it and look at the evidence. And if they did violence and they did things, then there should be punishment. But maybe they've done enough punishment. Maybe they've been punished enough. And I would argue they have. If you've participated, if you've been thrown into the gulag in Washington, D.C., even if you did violence. So even if you got out of hand, you were wrong for breaking a window. Absolutely. You should do time. But if you've done 2 years already in the gulag of Washington, D.C., where they treated these people horribly, I would argue that's enough. If I were the juror sentencing, or if I were the president or the governor or whoever determining whether to not necessarily pardon, but maybe in that case, put an end to the sentence. I'm blanking on the word. How am I forgetting this word? Not parole, but anyway, bottom line is they should be let out at this point, just like the Shaman Chansley guy was finally let out after 11 months in solitary confinement because he walked into the Senate, waved in by a police officer. He peacefully walked into the United States Senate and prayed over the nation and then walked out. And he spent 11 months in solitary confinement and longer than that in prison. I would say he's done his time. I would say for sure that's enough. And same for a lot of those guys that actually were absolutely wrong and did violence. And anyone that did not do violence and walked in, you know, peaceably, never should have been prosecuted in the first place. And yet this abusive, persecuting, left-wing taken Democrat machine of a DOJ and FBI that we have right now has been harassing and persecuting thousands of these people, including the praying grandma, Rebecca, out there in Colorado, including many others just like her. And so those people absolutely should be pardoned. So from what I understand, from the way Ron DeSantis said it last week, he plans to immediately have that process started on day one, like have the website ready, have the procedures in place, and start getting through those as quickly as possible. Donald Trump has made a generic statement about it, that he will pardon the ones that deserve to be pardoned. We don't know what that means. It's pretty general. I assume that he would. Vivek has basically said the same thing. So I don't know about a bunch of the other guys. They kind of danced around it, Mike Pence and others. But as I said, they don't have a chance of winning anyway. All right, sorry, I had to give me a drink of coffee. Okay, let's just make sure that we're watching this closely and that you recognize that you are guilty of seditious conspiracy as well if you encourage people to follow the Constitution, because that's what Donald Trump did. That's actually a simpler way to say this. You know, I've been saying over the last couple of days that if you participate in the process and go testify at a committee, or you go encourage the legislature to kill a bill or pass a bill or whatever, that you're guilty of what Donald Trump is guilty of. I think it's actually simpler than that. This just occurred to me. What did Donald Trump do on January 6th? He encouraged the Constitution to be followed. He encouraged our nation to be constitutional. He encouraged the vice president to follow the Constitution and the 12th Amendment and to count the electors that were legal. That's what he encouraged. And to verify that the electors were legal. That's what he encouraged. So he encouraged the vice president of the United States to do what Thomas Jefferson did in 1800. when there were questions about the electors from Georgia. He encouraged the vice president and the Congress to do exactly what Richard Nixon did in 1960 when there were questions about Hawaii's electors. He encouraged the Congress to do what the Congress did in the 1800s on multiple occasions when multiple sets of electors were sent to Washington, D.C. He didn't do anything different from what Andrew Jackson did in the race against John Quincy Adams when nobody got a majority of the Electoral College and it went to the House. And so there was lobbying and there was efforts and encouragement to follow the Constitution one way or another based on the interpretation. Folks, that is the free process in a constitutional republic. That is the First Amendment, petition your government for a redress of grievances. That is peaceful assembly. So no question, if you weren't peaceful in the assembly, then you went outside those bounds. So whether you did that as a Black Lives Maoist, or you did that as a MAGA Trump supporter, or you did that as any other group out there, then if you did violence, then you were outside what we're talking about here. But can anybody point to me where Donald Trump did violence on January 6th? Can anybody show me a statement by Donald Trump that encouraged violence? Can anyone show me a statement by Donald Trump that encouraged anyone to violate the law? Can anyone show me a statement by Donald Trump that encouraged anyone to not follow the Constitution or the law of the land? Can anyone show me a statement by Donald Trump that encouraged anyone to do something illegal or unconstitutional or even unethical? No. January 6th was a proper, for most people, not the idiots that did violence, the provocateurs that weren't even Trump supporters that were in, you know, literally leading the violence. So I'm not defending Ray Epps or any of the others that encouraged things that were breaking the law. But for the other hundreds of thousands of people, including Donald J. Trump, they did nothing to violate the law, to violate the Constitution, to encourage anything illegal or unethical. You look at the tweets that Donald Trump sent that day. You look at his speech. I have gone over it word by word multiple times, and there is nothing that he did that you could say was seditious conspiracy. These people are making it up as they go, and if they can do it to the president of the United States, my friend, they can do it to you. So that's what's at stake here. Now, I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. I would argue that for sure, this is actually going to help Donald Trump, not hurt him in the Republican nomination. It will hurt him in the November election for the middle of the road folks that don't pay enough attention to this stuff. But in the Republican primary, man, his numbers go up every time he gets indicted. It's actually, I don't know, man. I don't know. I never would have thought that you would say, more indictments, please, because my polling will go up. But that's essentially what Donald Trump could say at this point. It's crazy. So I don't think it's going to prevent him from getting the nomination. I still think there's a chance he doesn't get the nomination for other reasons, just simply because I do think Ron DeSantis is a more appealing candidate in the general election. I think he's a more articulate candidate. I think he's a more, he's got an incredible record there in Florida. So, there's a lot of reasons why people will choose DeSantis over Donald Trump. And so that's very possible. I don't think it'll be because of this indictment or this coming indictment or any of the previous indictments. I think those things are actually going to hurt Ron DeSantis and help Donald Trump. That's just, my two cents on it. We'll see if that's accurate. I do think one other thing while I'm rambling here, and then I promise to get to the calls when we come back from the break because there's a bunch of people waiting out there. But I thought Vivek Ramaswamy said something really interesting to Tucker in this interview last week. And then he said it again the other night. I was on with him Tuesday night on Flashpoint. And it was this. He basically said there is a psychosis out there with about a third of the country that just for whatever reason, there's a lot of reasons, but whichever reason you want to choose, when Donald Trump says something, they will not agree with it no matter what it is. He could say the sky is blue, and because it's Donald Trump saying it, they're not going to agree. And Vivek's right. It's literally a psychosis. These people have been programmed to believe that Donald Trump is the Hitler of our age, is evil, is all that stuff. And so no matter what comes out of his mouth, They disagree with it. And so I think he's right about that. I think those people, no matter what, are going to hate Donald Trump and vote against him and be against whatever he says. And so what Vivek is saying is when he says it, and he didn't say this, but I would add when Ron DeSantis says it, it's not as controversial and it's not as rejected from a knee-jerk perspective from those people that just hate Donald Trump. And so when you know that, that's why a guy like Vivek or Ron DeSantis runs, because they know there's a segment, a huge segment of the population out there, a third, that is up for grabs for any other candidate, but is completely off the table for Donald Trump. Now, I'm not suggesting that means Donald Trump shouldn't run or that he can't win, because he could still get 51% of the rest of the people. I'm just saying that makes sense to me. That when Vivek pointed that out, I think that's very true. And I think that's why you hear Vivek and Ron DeSantis say some of the exact same things that Donald Trump is saying, and they win people over with it, and Donald Trump doesn't. I mean, I'm just being analytical here, folks. I'm not picking one side or the other yet. As you know, I haven't endorsed any of these candidates for the primary yet. I've actually bragged on all of them. I think it's good that we have a really competitive primary for the Republican nomination. I think that's good for the country. I think it's good for the Republican primary. And it's good on the Democrat side as well. I'm hoping that RFK makes a really tough race. I don't think it'll be Joe Biden that he ends up ultimately running against. It's going to be either Michelle Obama or Gavin Newsom, the worst governor in history. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and get to your phone calls, 888-589-8840. Hang in there, Christine and Jeff and Steve and Richard and Cornelius and all the rest. We'll be back. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us for the final segment today. Let's go straight to the phones. Richard is calling in from Arkansas. Richard from Arkansas, thanks for calling in. What part of Arkansas are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from the great city of West Fork, Arkansas.
All right. Well, man, thanks for calling. We won't call the hogs, but go for it. What's your comment or question?
Oh, I just amused by the fact that you were talking about the mask nonsense. Fortunately, here in Arkansas, we weren't as choked down as some states were. But one day I was standing in line at a Lowe's, and they had this big display of masks standing there for everybody to look at, you know, come get your mask. And I picked it up, and it's big, bright letters on the side of it, made in China. So I looked around at everybody beside me, and I had my mask. I always wore my mask hanging off of one ear. That way, if somebody was offended and they needed a mask on, I'd put it on for 2 seconds, walk away, and then drop it back down.
Right.
So I stood there and looked at this made in China, and I said in a very loud voice so everybody could appreciate it, I said, look. Look at these wonderful masks. I said, look, they're all made in China by the fine folks who brought us the coronavirus.
That's right.
And, of course, the people that hate anybody who has an opinion were standing there glaring at me. The others were laughing because they knew I was right.
That's right.
And I've made numerous attempts since then to point out the fact that, hey, this is where this nonsense comes from.
Well, and you know, another one, Richard, that cracks me up is the, you know, most of the pro-mask, you know, pro-shutdown folks are left-leaning. And then you look at all of the – and then, of course, they're also part of the – they usually lead the charge on environmental issues, and they believe in the climate nonsense. But you know, I'm as a Christian, I think we ought to take good care of the earth. I don't buy into any of the fake science on the climate control stuff, but they do. And so I love the pictures of all of the mass and the massive amount of landfill and, you know, non-biodegradable, like it's a nightmare for the environment. And so I'm like, okay, how do you guys balance your two values, your value of the COVID cult and having to bow down and worship to the COVID cult and have your symbol of your mask on all the time so that people believe that, that you're virtuous when it's not a virtue. Fear is not a virtue, and your virtue signaling is a lie. You're living by a lie, but it is their religion. And then it violates their other religion, which is to worship the creation more than the creator. So I always got a kick out of that and the memes that would show those pictures of all of the masks as well. But, man, I love it. Yeah, made in China, as were so many of the COVID tests, right, and all the other stuff, and the billions and billions and billions, trillions ultimately, in dollars that got wasted. All right, let's go to Jeff over in Missouri. Missouri, I just interviewed a congressman from Missouri, and it was great, man. I was really impressed by him, Burleson. Jeff, go ahead, man. What's your comment or question today?
I'm always trying to be nice to people because I believe in Jesus, and I tell people when I see them wearing a mask, I ask them, I say, hey, you believe in science, right? They're like, yep. I said, well, hey, take your perfume or your aftershave and spray it in the air in front of you. If you could see it through that mask, you know, if you could smell it through the mask, then a mask not helping you, and the virus is at least 100 times smaller than that. So do yourself another favor. If you still believe in science, go home, put 5 of them masks on, spray it in front of you. You can still smell it. Quit making the Chinese mask companies rich and all the Democrats who heavily invested in them when they knew that stuff was coming over to use it. So, and what you talked about earlier, Rick, what you talked about earlier about, pardon them. The other thing to let them go if you think they've served plenty of time is to commute their sentence.
Commute, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I was reaching back in my brain and I could not find it. That's it. That's so good, brother. Appreciate it. Yeah, commute their sentence. That's what I was trying to remember. But I love your test, man. That's just common sense stuff that people just for whatever reason, smart people could not figure this out and kept buying into the I mean, it was just crazy. It was crazy. But I love your test. That's great, man. Just spray a perfume or cologne or whatever. If you can smell, oh, that's so good. And like you said, the virus way, way smaller than that. All right, man, we're bouncing around all kinds of states here. Oklahoma this time, Christine in Oklahoma. Christine, how you doing? Thanks for calling in. What's your comment or question today?
I'm doing great. I'm good. How are you doing, Rick?
Well.
I am 45, and I used to own a gun. But in my 20s, I was stupid, and I embezzled some money. I paid everything back. I paid for everything that I did. What is the likelihood of, other than getting my record expunged, of ever getting to own a gun again?
Oh, great question, Christine. Well, first of all, let me just say I can hear in your voice and how you're saying this. Obviously that you love the Lord. You've been forgiven. You paid the price for what you did. You admitted it. You paid it back. I mean, and that's the biblical way to do it, right? Restitution. You didn't just pay serve a prison sentence and the victim not get their money back. We should be pushing for restitution all over this country instead of always locking people up and the victim never getting paid back for whatever got broken or stolen or whatever it might be. That's one. Two, I would say I absolutely disagree with these laws that prevent someone from being able to get their constitutional right of self-defense and their biblical right of self-defense and, frankly, the natural law right of self-defense back when after they've paid the price for something. And if it's a nonviolent crime, you should never have lost your right to keep and bear arms. And even in some cases, a violent crime, depending on the case, which is where I think you have a committee or that looks at each of these scenarios, I 100% think you should be able to carry a gun and protect yourself. And that for like you said, you know, if you do something stupid when you're in your 20s or in your teens, or even if you did something stupid 5 years ago, if you're 70 years old, there ought to be some common sense, practical ramifications, but then you should be able to get your rights back. I wish I could tell you off the top of my head. I don't practice criminal law, but I know I have friends that did, you know, stupid things in their 20s. And often it was a drug charge of some kind, and to this day in their 60s and 70s cannot carry a firearm. And I just completely disagree with that. I think there should be a common sense way to alleviate that. I wish I could give you a direct answer on how you could do it and when that could take place. There may be, based on your particular crime at the time and that long ago, you may already have a method for that. I think the only way, if it's a felony, and a state jail felony, depending on your state or whatever, I think there may be a way for you to get there. But I know a pardon from a governor is a way to get there. But, man, I wish. And I'm not, listen, folks, I'm not a soft on crime person. I mean, I served on the Criminal Jurisprudence Committee in Texas when I was in the legislature. I am very much, you know, there's some people I think you lock up and throw away the key. There's some people I think you absolutely should have the death penalty for. But I think we lock too many people up for nonviolent stuff that it should be restitution. And a lot of that I get from a biblical perspective and from, Tony Evans, pastor out of Oak Cliff, Texas, had a book called Kingdom Agenda that had a lot of impact on me when I first went into the legislature 25 years ago. And that was one of the items, was these young kids that do, they commit a crime in their teens or their early 20s. We lock them up. They learn how to become a better criminal. There's no restitution. There's no reconciliation. There's no ministry, and it's just bad. It just creates a cycle of violence. And so what Tony was always pushing for, and I think they still do at his church, is they go to the judge and they say, hey, man, give us the kid before you send them to jail. Sentence them to whatever the jail sentence is going to be. But then, give them shock probation, maybe a couple of days in jail, and then give them to us and let us mentor them. Let us put them in the situation where they have to go to work and they have to make money to pay back restitution, and let us disciple them. And then if it doesn't work or they walk away or whatever, and then they can go serve the sentence. But give us a chance to do that. And that's worked wonders for them. I wish we would do more of that in those situations. But then specifically to the question, I definitely think you should have ways to get your rights back to be able to carry. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Okay, this I see a Texas one. Cassie in Texas. Let's go, Cassie. Cassie in Texas. Go ahead. Hi. Comment or question. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. Well, I kind of had two. I was telling the screener. The VEC, I really like everything he says. Everything is just great. It sounds really, what we want to hear. But he practices Hinduism, if I'm not mistaken. And that means they believe in more than one God. They believe in reincarnation. They believe there's no such thing as the will of God. So I've really got a problem with that. And then the other thing, you were talking about President Trump and that, how much they hate him. Oh, they just hate him. Well, I believe that too, but I believe that hate was brought on by their jealousy of him. I mean, pretty much Trump was pretty much a nobody. He was just a regular old Joe. Yes, he was rich. Yes, he was known by the all the movie stars and all that.
Let me ask a clarifying question real quick, Cassie. Are you talking, when you say they, do you mean the Republicans running against him, or do you mean the left or the Democrats? Or do you just mean anybody that's an anti-Trump, or the 30% I was talking about that just won't listen to anything he says?
Oh, the left, the Democrats, okay. That just absolutely are making, have made his life, I don't, like everybody says, I don't even know how he is still sane.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they've done more to him and attacked his family and him more criminally, financially, all of those things than maybe anybody in the history of our country, but certainly anybody that I can think of in my lifetime. No doubt about it. I don't know. I would say that's why I wanted to clarify the question, because I think you're onto something for those in the Republican Party. They're jealous of how popular he became and how he was able to step in and tap into the frustration of the American people with the swamp and the whole nine yards. But I think the left hates him genuinely because of what he has done to their agenda. I think they hate him because he put the brakes on them. He stopped the nonsense. He was unwilling to buy into the media game. He created the whole fake news thing, the term fake news, that allowed people to finally start seeing just how fake it really is. And so I think they hate him because he messed up their nest. He actually stopped the leftist agenda while he was in office to a large degree. I mean, some stuff still got through because he made bad choices in terms of who he put on his team and who he put in charge of certain things, which he actually admitted the other day. I was glad to hear him say that because he hadn't done that yet. And he admitted, you know, some of the personnel decisions he made, you know, he didn't know the D.C. system. And he was used to he even alluded to this, and I've said this before on the program, you know, he just came from this corporate world, New York corporate world, where if you're the boss and you hire somebody, they do what you say to do. And that's how it works, and otherwise they get fired, right? He can say, you're fired, but in politics, it's not that way. So every time he appoints somebody to one of these agencies, they've got their own agenda, their own political career, their own, you know, willingness to undermine him. And that's what they did. So he made bad appointments that undermined the agenda, that kept him from being able to do a lot of the things that he wanted to do. And I think it sounded like what he was saying the other day, that he finally realizes that. I think, again, that's a difference between he and DeSantis. DeSantis put a team in place in Florida that was, I mean, right there with him. They were supporters of the agenda. They completed the agenda. That's why they literally, it was home run after home run after home run after home run for 2 years. I mean, they just killed it. I mean, it was phenomenal what happened in Florida. And it's because he was a great leader, or is a great leader in Florida, and he put together a great team. And so they're all singing the same song. They're all rowing the same direction. And it was smooth and amazing. Donald Trump, not so much. Now, of course, Washington's a harder nut to crack. Can DeSantis transfer that to D.C.? I don't know. I think so, but I don't know. And so, you know, I hate to sound wishy-washy on this, but I literally see the pros and cons of both guys. And with Trump, I think he's learned that particular lesson. And I think if he were to be elected in 2024, he would go in 2025 only with people that were going to implement his agenda, and he would fire them immediately as soon as they didn't. Now, he has a horrible track record on that, right? I mean, he let Barr stay in there. He let Fauci stay in there. The fact that he let Fauci stay in there and then gave Fauci an award in January of 2021, that's not good. That is a huge, huge negative on Donald Trump. And I think that it's going to get hammered home in the primary, and he's going to lose a lot of support because of that, no matter what he says. That's just the facts. But that's a con. That's a negative. But you got to weigh that against the positives, which are, number one, it'd be his last term. He'd go in scorched earth, bull in the China closet, all the things that I think are needed in D.C., and those positives are huge. So you got to weigh all of that when you're making your decision. Would DeSantis do the same thing? I think he would based on what he did in Florida. But then again, he's going to be thinking about reelection in a second term and all that. So I'm telling you, folks, you just got to be wise. You got to be discerning. You got to study these things. I'm not going to make it easy. I'm not just going to say, hey, go vote for Trump or go vote for DeSantis. Not yet, anyway. I want to keep analyzing this thing. I want to keep looking at all sides of it. I want us to be a thinking people. We need to be a thinking grassroots Christian conservative audience that is really looking closely to stuff, breaking it down, and making wise decisions. And we got some time. We got some time, folks. We got 6 months before the Iowa caucus. Not quite that long, but almost. And so if you're in Iowa, you've got to make your decision faster than everybody else. All right, we're out of time for the show, though. Not out of time for making that decision on president. Thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to At the Core. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. I will see you next Tuesday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.